Hello and welcome to the Northgate Podcast. Get ready for an exploration of the Gospel of Matthew and our new message series, Love God and Love People. The title of this study of Matthew is much more than a catchphrase. It is a call to action. We'll dig into what it means to love God and love others, even when life gets complicated. We want to push you to rethink how you live out the gospel message in your own day-to-day life. Let's have a listen.
Right. Good morning, everybody. So good to see you. I love people have to come in and they're going back out to find seats. Always a good problem to have. Really glad that you're here. Glad that you're online as well. Before I jump into the message, one thing I want to share with you. A lot of you, most of you know Allison Lang. She's our communication director. That's her husband, Dan, and her sons, Braden, Carter, and Connor. This was last Easter, so Braden's like 8 inches taller than that now. But Allison, they started coming here Easter 2012, and Allison's been working for the church since February 2017. And Allison has really been an example of cream rising to the top, because she was somebody that God really brought here as far as working here. And she started as a receptionist, became our office manager, became our communication director. And I'm excited to tell you today that with the unanimous approval of our board, with a really heartfelt recommendation from Mark, and with my complete confidence on August 1st, when Mark retires, Allison will become our operations director. Yeah. Yes. I'm very excited about that. Allison, I mean, she's somebody that is very responsible at every level. She has gotten her job done and sometimes other jobs that are not hers. That's just her personality. But she's also somebody that really gets the ministry of Northgate and gets who we are and how we do things and what we want to do. She's somebody that's really passionate about Rwanda, as am I. So just in case if you wondered, with this whole transition, is that going to change? We've just scratched the surface with Rwanda. We're not going anywhere there but deeper in with those people that we love. So we're really excited about that. Allison was supposed to be here today. She's not feeling well, so unfortunately she couldn't be here in person, but we have to keep things moving forward. So I'll just give you one encouragement, because I know you guys are so incredibly encouraging. The last month for me has been overwhelming in that way. And for some of you, you've said, a couple of you have had the same thing. You've said, oh, you got big shoes to fill, and I get that. I know what you're saying there. But if you've said that to me, I've told you, I'm just going to keep wearing my own shoes. Right, I like my own shoes. I got a lot of shoes and I like them, and that's just kind of who I am. And so my encouragement with you, as you see Allison and you encourage her, is we know Mark, right? We know how valuable Mark has been to this church. And Allison is gonna do a great job being Allison in that role. So she's not the new Mark and she doesn't have big shoes to fill. She's gonna do an awesome job as the person she is in this new role. And I'm really excited to work with her in that way. So love God, love people. This is the 7th of 8 weeks. It's the penultimate week of this series. Next week is Easter weekend. We hope we see you at least once, right? Feel free to come out to the sunrise and come back for the 9:30 or 11, whatever you want to do. But we really look forward to celebrating Easter with you. Now, I don't want to be cheap, right? I try not to. I'm trying to get better at that, right? To do that and say, oh, just no, split the bill evenly. It's fine, even though I know mine costs less than yours, right? I don't want to do that. But one way that I know I still am is when someone is about to waste good food. Does anyone else do this, right? It's like an extra piece of pizza, right? Or the kids, right? Kids, they don't finish their whole meal. There's a couple nuggets or whatever there. And you're like, wait, don't waste it. Right? Don't waste it. Hold on. And I don't know. I think, like, I'll just force this food in that I don't need, even though I'm already full, because that's somehow better than wasting it, right? That's better than throwing out that extra piece of pizza or that wing. And I think there's a good heart behind that. I think so. It's passed down from parents whose parents lived through the Great Depression. Now, a dietitian or a doctor would not recommend that. Like, oh, finish your food and then finish your kids' food as well. But I think the heart of a lot of that stuff, as we just think we're being wasteful, that it's not good management with what we've been given, and that's not a bad thing. In church language, we would say we want to be good stewards. That's the phrase that you would hear. Dave Ramsey tells a story about going to Scotland, and they're touring castles. And in these castles, there's a steward. There's somebody, that's their position, their title, they're a steward. They don't own the castle, but they are the caretaker for it. It's somebody else's, but the care and management of that castle has been entrusted to them. And Dave said that kind of clicked for him, because prior to that, when he had heard steward at church, it was stewardship, and it meant we're going to build a building. And so that means you got to start giving more money to the church so we can build the building. So in this parable, which is great. We just sang really about this. In this parable, the story that Jesus tells to make a much deeper point that we're going to look at today, on the surface, it's about money. But you can exhale, because this is not, it's not a message about money. For some of you, it might actually be about money. For others, it will have very little or nothing to do with finances. It's much more about what we just sang. It's much more about, here I am, you can have it all. It's much more about that submission and saying, God, what I have is yours. But rest assured, no matter how this message hits you, we will not pass the offering plates again, right? You're only going to see them once this morning. Because what Jesus wanted his followers to see from this passage that we're going to dig in on today is that God expects us to be productive with our resources to fulfill his purposes. Now, I'm somebody that likes clear expectations, right? Just make it clear so that I can fulfill those. And this qualifies, right? I would say that in school, it'd be like, what do you want, a 10-page paper? Just say 10-page paper, I'll do it. Like, just let me know. But if you tell me to write a paper and you're hoping for 12 and I write 5, well, that's not my problem. Tell me what you wanted. And this is what God expects. And he's not particularly unclear about this. And we know, right? We know in a room like this, there's a lot of people. We have different resources. We have different skills. We have different gifts. We have different abilities, different things we're strong in. We have different things that we have more of. Some of you guys have a lot of something that other people have very little of. At the first church that I worked at, I started there actually in an after-school program when I was really young. I worked there from 19 until I was 26. And for a long time, I was in after-school. Somehow I became the director of the after-school. Still unclear because I was a terrible counselor. But we had a daycare and a preschool and pre-K and an after-school program. And when you have that many kids, we had 300 kids usually in and out of the building in a week, you have to have a laminator. I don't know why. If you're an educator, you can tell me why. But you have to cover everything in plastic. Maybe because kids are dirty. I don't know. But we had a big laminator. And so when the plastic would run out, there's two things, right? And it pushes the plastic together. You had to change the rolls. And there was a day that we needed to change the rolls, and we had a facilities guy, and he was busy, and I didn't want to bother him. So I just said, I'll do it. I can do this. It's Mr. Prouty. It's Richard Prouty, for those of you that know him here. So I didn't want to bother him. I do this, and I do it wrong, unsurprisingly. And it feeds together in the wrong way, and it burns the motor out. So now I'm trying to save him time. He has to order a new motor and he has to come down instead of just changing the roll. So he's in my office. He's changing this roll and he's changing the motor. And he looked at me and he very kindly but very directly said, "We pay you to talk and to think and to type. I don't want to see you with a screwdriver in your hand." And I was like, "Well, you know, he's right. He's right on. Like, that is accurate, right?" He was correctly knew that fixing things was not one of my gifts. It's not one of my resources. Mark has said very similar things to me several times. But even though we're all gifted with different resources, with different strengths and abilities, with different assets, the expectation from God is that we are productive with all of them to fulfill his purposes. The time and the skills that he's entrusted to us, the money, the other assets that we have, the gifting that he's given us, he expects us to use all of those in a productive way to fulfill his purposes. And Jesus, in this ongoing attempt in the book of Matthew to explain what the kingdom of heaven is really like, he tells his followers and his listeners what is known in the NIV as the parables of the bags of gold. Now, you might know it from some other things. We'll talk about that. NIV calls it bags of gold. And so Jesus is like, all right, again, what is the kingdom of God like? How can I explain this to you in a way that will make sense to you? And he's like, let me tell you a story. Starts his story and said, there's a man, he's going away on a journey. And so he calls his servants together. He calls them together and he asks them to take care of some of his wealth. He doesn't want to see his money just sit there and go to waste while he's gone. So he has some people and he asks them if they can manage it for him. Now, this is kind of a weird concept for us because we have banks and we have financial planners and we have investment portfolios, right? I'm not going to go on a cruise and be like, who's going to watch my money, right? Who's going to watch my dog? Like, somebody's got to do that. But the money will take care of itself. But at this time, before any of that, someone had to be actually physically working with the money or it would just sit there and it would gather dust. And as we can see, as we will see, this is exactly what that person did not want to happen. So he literally gives his wealth to them. He entrusts his wealth to them to manage, to be, as I said earlier, to be stewards of his resources. And he has 8 bags of gold that he needs to divvy up. The NIV calls them bags of gold. Other translations refer to them as talents. You might be familiar with that, especially if you grew up in the church. It's kind of confusing because when we hear talent, we think about like a musician, right? Somebody that can sing or play an instrument really well. But a talent's a unit of weight. It's a unit of measurement. I don't want to get too far down in the weeds on how much each of these bags of gold was, but it was a lot. A talent was about 6,000 denarii, which would be 20 years of wages for a regular worker. If you remember the parable I talked about last week, the workers in the vineyard, they received 1 denarius for their day of work. And so this was about 6,000 of those. It's about 6,000 days' wages. So the point is, he didn't leave any of them $100 to manage. All 3 of them, even though they're going to get different amounts, they were getting a lot to manage. And he gives the first person 5 bags of gold, and he gives the second person 2 bags of gold, and he gives the third person 1 bag of gold. Now, I have to name them because it'll be easier to track. So we have 5 bag Fred, we have 2 bag Tim, and we have 1 bag Bill. Okay, stick up with it. If you need to write that down, go ahead. And why did they get different amounts? Well, it says right pretty clearly in the passage, each according to his ability. Yes, Bill only received 1 bag of gold, but again, this was not an insignificant amount of money. Fred and Tim received more, but everyone received something, and everyone received a good amount to work with. And then he goes out on his journey. And he goes out, and first, 5 bag Fred, I mean, he does not waste any time getting to work with his 5 bags of gold. He gets to work. He gets the money to work. He invests. Maybe he makes some loans with interest, with the money. He's buying and selling and trading. He gets into some good growth stock mutual funds, puts a little in a Roth IRA, and he turns those 5 bags of gold into 5 more. He doubles the master's resources that he was entrusted with. 2 bag Tim, actually, has a pretty similar story, right? He digs in, he gets to work, he doesn't have as much as Fred, but he's not too worried about that. It doesn't stop him from doing what he can do. He follows a similar plan, maybe goes into his local Edward Jones, he makes some smart investments, and he turns those 2 bags of gold into 4 bags of gold. But maybe Bob, he'd heard, or no, it's Bill, isn't it? Sorry, I should have written it down. Maybe Bill, he'd heard all those financial investor disclaimers, you know, that you hear in every commercial that's always like, past performance may not be indicative of future results. Certain types of funds may carry greater risk investment than other investment funds. He'd heard all those, right? You know those. And so those are in his head, and he's a little worried. He's a little risk averse. He's too risk averse, as we'll see. So he takes his 1 bag of gold, and he gets himself a big old shovel, and he digs a hole in the ground, and he buries the money. And as you might be guessing, if you're not familiar with this parable, verse 19 tells us that eventually the master returned. And he calls his servants in. He wants to see what they did. Let's settle accounts. Let me know how it went. Maybe the fact that it was a long time, maybe that caused them to doubt if he ever would return. Maybe they started to think, you know, we're not going to actually ever have to give an account for all of this. But he does. Eventually, he does return, even though, as the passage said, it's after a long time. And now it's like class project time, when you have to come forward and present your work. Remember that feeling? Some of you do. Some of it's a good thing. It was a good day, right? If you had done your work, it was a good day. You were ready to go. You got to stand up there. You're proud to show the work to your teacher and your classmates. Yeah, it was such a bad feeling, right, when you were on the other side and you had all this time to do it and you hadn't done it. Brian Regan has a great bit about that. Your head popping off the pillow and being like, oh, man, that's today. And you just got to go in there and stand there and take it. Well, it was a good day for Fred and Tim. When the master came back, they'd done their work promptly. They'd had success. They were ready to give an account to their master for what they had done. And so Fred comes out, and I think it doesn't say in the passage, he's probably got a bow tie on, right? I think he's got a bow tie. And he's got like a bit of a presentation. He's like, sirs, you know, you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. And I was very honored by that. And through some hard work and investments, I was able to turn those 5 bags of gold into, and 5 guys walk out and they're each carrying a bag of gold. And he's like, 5 more bags of gold for a total of 10 bags of gold. And the master is thrilled, right? He's obviously pumped. Verse 21, he replies, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Those of you who really pay attention recognize that those were the words I closed last weekend's message with. That's called foreshadowing. These words certainly have a feeling of heaven too, don't they? Which is foreshadowing as well. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You nailed it. You've proven yourself to be good and faithful, and so now I'm going to trust you with even more things. Now come and share in the joy that I have because of how productive you've been with what I entrusted to you." So Fred, he walks off. He's feeling good. And Two-Bag Tim steps up to the plate. His presentation's a little less dramatic than Fred. Not quite as much flair. He'd no bow tie for sure. He's got like maybe a polo shirt and like, "Hey dudes," like khakis or jeans, depends on the day. And he says, "Master, as you remember, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. And I'm happy to tell you that with those 2 bags of gold, I was able to earn 2 more for a total of 4 bags. And the response of the master is the exact same as it was for Fred. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Tim goes off, and then here comes Bill. Good old one-bag Bill. He's got some sweats on. I'm not sure if he brushed his teeth. I am sure he did not brush his hair. He's rocking like flip-flops with socks, which, hey, listen, if you're doing that, I'm not mad at you. It's comfortable. I do it all the time. It used to be the worst thing you could do, like when I was younger, and then the kids decided it's cool, and so now it's back, and I'm in. But it's not what you do when you're trying to dress up. You're trying to look your best. And so one bag Billy comes in. He's like, "Master, nice to see you today. And so you see, all right, so what happened is I know that you're a rich and powerful man, and I know that you've got high standards, and I know that you hate careless ways, and I know that you demand the best, and you don't make any allowances for error. And I was really afraid that I might disappoint you. So here's what I did. I took the 1 bag of gold that you gave me and I buried it in the ground because I was afraid that with only 1 bag of gold, if I tried to invest it or I tried to profit from it, it might not go well. And again, I just didn't want to disappoint you. So let me give back to you what belongs to you." And he pulls his bag of gold out and it's all covered in like dirt and worms because it's been underground for this whole time. He's like, "So here you go." And I don't know, it doesn't say how one bag Bill felt about his presentation. He has the phrase, "See, here's what belongs to you." And that kind of makes it feel like he thinks he did well. Did he think the master was going to be like, "Hey, all right, you know, that was a smart choice. That was a sensible choice." Did he think the master would say, "You know, I get it, Bill. I only gave you 1 bag. So, I mean, you couldn't do much with that. What's best case scenario? You turn that 1 bag into 2 bags? It's just 1 more bag. You did good. It's all good, my friend." Because if that's what he thought, he found out pretty quickly after the end of his presentation that he was completely wrong. I mean, he had no idea how much his lack of effort displeased his master. As soon as he gives him this dirty, worm-covered bag, the master replies, "You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew I'm someone who demands the best, and this is what you decided to do with what I entrusted to you? This is literally the least you could have done. I mean, why didn't you throw it into a CD or a money market account or something so we'd at least get a little bit of interest before you gave it back to me?" Verses 28 and 29 tell us, he said, "So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." And he says, "And get 1 bag Bill out of here. Throw him out into the darkness. I'm done with this guy." That's the conclusion of the parable. And I want to draw a few applications from this story that Jesus told to apply to our lives today, that apply to the resources that God has entrusted to each of us to fulfill his purposes. And here's the first thing, and really the main point in this parable. Instead of using what we don't have as an excuse, we need to deliberately make use of what we do have. Right, the oldest trick in the book is comparison. Bob Goff said, on the 7th day, while God was resting, Satan was putting comparison together. Because comparison, it's an incredibly effective tool that the devil will use to make you feel ungrateful for what you have and entitled to what you don't have. So we'll say things like, "Well, I don't have as much money as they do, so I can't be as generous as they are." And we're ignoring the fact that generosity is much more about the condition of your heart than it is a number in your bank account. Or we'll say, "Well, if I had their house, if I had a house like that, we'd use it for great stuff. We'd have people over. We would use it to be a blessing for sure. If I could play the guitar like she does, or if I was as great with kids as he is, if I was as blank is." But that is not the standard. That's not how we will be judged for what we were given. If your plan someday is to just say, "Well, You know, I couldn't sing like Tara and Andrea and Luke, and I didn't have as much time as younger people than me who didn't have kids clogging up their schedules, and I never had as much money as some other people that I know. So yeah, I just took what you did give me and I buried it in the ground. I kept looking at what everybody else had, and I thought, you know, they're better suited to make a kingdom impact for your purposes. If that's your plan, you better get a new plan. You need to work on that. Instead, we need to deliberately make use of what we do have. And you might say, I can't sing, I can't preach, you don't want me in the kids' wing, I make a terrible greeter, any computer that I touch breaks. Okay, can you carry stuff? Can you pick up stuff and put it down in a different place? Because there's a whole lot of carrying stuff that goes on in a place like this. A whole lot of ministry is moving chairs. Can you help maintain some of the beautiful 70 acres that we have here? Can you help with the playground? This is a playground work week. There's a playground work week, 9 to 12, Monday through Friday this week. I know some of you, you're working, but if you can take time off or you have a different schedule, 9 to 12, Monday through Friday, you do not have to be a civil engineer. We've got one of those. We just need people, all different varieties of skill levels there. It would be a great way to say, hey, you know what? This is something I can do, be a part of that. If that's what's been entrusted to you, deliberately make use of it for God's kingdom and his purposes. And why is this so important that we all do that? Why is it so important? Because we need to be prepared to give an account for what we did with what we were given. We got to be prepared for that. Remember being in class and you'd hear, all right, time's up, pencils down. Like that, it caused a little anxiety just saying it, right? Remember that feeling? It's coming. It is coming. We need to be prepared. It might be when Jesus comes back. It might be when our life here on earth ends. But there will be a time when we have to give an account for what we did with what we were given. Now, a lot of modern Christians, especially American Christians, they think that when God gives them something, it no longer belongs to God, but now it belongs to us. And we can do whatever we want to with it. And it's a super incredibly misguided perception that one day we will be held accountable for. Everything I have, my time, my wealth, my possessions, my position here at Northgate, I will someday have to give an account for. Did I manage it as a steward for God in a way that fulfilled his purposes? Or did I just use it however I wanted, acting as if there would never be a time when I had to give an account for what I was given? I mean, it's not a pop quiz. It's coming. We know it's coming. So be prepared. But make sure to understand the standard by which we will all be judged. Because we will only be judged by what we did with what we were given, not in comparison or in conjunction with anyone else. The master, he judged Fred and Tim and Bill. He judged them individually. I mean, if we look at this as a group project, they nailed it. Right? He gave them 8 bags of gold and they returned 15. That's a really good rate of investment. Any financial advisor would be really happy with that, but that's not how the master approached them. He judged each of them on their individual faithfulness alone. But that principle, it doesn't just apply to Bill, who didn't do a good job, who wasn't good and faithful. Because even on the good end of the scale, the reward was the same for Tim and for Fred. Even though Fred was given 5 bags, Tim was given 2 bags, both of them had the same amount of success in correlation with the resources they had received. It wasn't a competition where the master said, okay, Fred, you're the big winner, right? Come on down. Like, it wasn't that. Because what they had demonstrated was their goodness and their faithfulness in their character through the process. The master, he wasn't looking for a specific amount of money. What he was looking for from them and what God is looking for from us is to demonstrate goodness and faithfulness with what he has given to us. What the master really wanted to see was goodness and faithfulness from his servants. Whatever financial success that the servants enjoyed was because they had been good and faithful in their approach. And those are the particular qualities that the master was looking for, not a specific amount of money. I promise you that God will not judge you according to what your neighbor or your boss or your brother did with what they were given. But he will look to see if you and I have demonstrated goodness and faithfulness with what he's given us. And that's what Jesus wanted us to know about the kingdom of heaven in this parable. And I love the way Peter, in his letter of 1 Peter, he kind of circles back to address this issue. 1 Peter 4:10, he said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Use whatever gift you have received. Now, the first implication here is that we've all received gifts. Now, you might feel like you only have a one bag kind of talent or a one bag level of generosity, but you've got something. And so the resulting instruction is we have to use that gift to serve others. If we're going to be faithful stewards of God's grace, we have to do it in its various forms, as Peter says here. If God's given you the gift to serve, but instead of serving, you just sadly mope around because he didn't give you the gift to play the drums or the bass, because those are obviously the two coolest instruments in the band, someday he's going to say, I gave you gifts. I gave you gifts so you could faithfully administer my grace in a particular way, and you never actually did that. Why not? For some of you, he's going to say, I entrusted you with a lot of money so that you could be generous, and you didn't do it. Or say, I gave you a mind that processes technology really quickly and you never used it for my purposes. You never did that. Why didn't you? Or I made you to be an encourager. You're somebody that with just a text or a call or a conversation, you can turn someone's week around because I gave you that gift and you don't use it. Why are you not using it? And I'm so glad, I'm continually glad that those gifts come in various forms, as Peter said, because we don't need 700 drummers. We don't need 700 people in the infant room, but we need people using the gifts that have been entrusted to you for his purposes. Peter goes on to say in that next verse, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter said, use those gifts. Use the gifts God's given you, but then don't just do it casually. Go all in. Get after it. Because what we do isn't nearly as important as how and why we do it. And what we do with those things, why do we do all those things? Peter said we do it so that in all things God will be praised. Whatever your gifts are, whatever he's entrusted to you, when you use those things well, God's praised through it, because God is praised by how we use our gifts to serve his church and to faithfully show grace in the way that he's called us to. Oh, in my first church, I've often described it, and I will say I loved it when I was there, and I would have stayed forever if it had worked out that way, which would have been awful because I would have missed out on this, but I would have. But my first church, I felt like I was in a play. Like I put on clothes that I wouldn't normally wear, right? It was like a costume, and I spoke in a way that I wouldn't normally speak, and it'd be like, indeed it is good to be together in the house of the Lord. I don't know, I've like erased all that, but it was just like stuff that I wouldn't say to be like, hey, how you doing, man? Good, I'm good, you know? Like that, it wasn't like that. I felt like I had roles in a play and lines, and I remember, you know, when that ended and really struggling with that, and then, you know, I came here. When I came here, I found a bunch of people who were just themselves. Right? Everyone was working to be more and more like Jesus, but it was a bunch of imperfect people on a journey together. And there was some five-bag people, they're there, but there's a bunch of one and three-bag people who are just being really faithful with what God had given them. And suddenly, I didn't have to be anyone else. I didn't have to be anything else. And I got to tell you, it's been one of the most freeing and joy-filled experiences of my life. Because you might feel like you just have a one-bag talent. You might feel like you're just a one-bag resource kind of person, but I'm telling you, when you are faithful with that, we will celebrate it like the master did that day. This is a place full of good and faithful servants. Let's make sure that is true for everyone with everything that he has entrusted to us, that we say, God, you can have it all. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the people here and the people online, God, the people that they are Northgate, Lord. They are who this church is. And I thank you for the different talents and resources and abilities and gifts that you have given us, and God, for the beautiful way that it combines together. God, I pray for people that feel like I don't really have a part in that. That God, you would give them the courage to step forward and to take those steps and to find the way to use what you have given them. God, I pray that we would be people who are actively thinking, am I using the things that God has given me to fulfill his purposes? And God, if that answer is no, that we would get working to change that answer. God, thank you for entrusting us to be your church. Lord, thank you for entrusting us with your grace to carry that grace to everywhere that we go. God, you are good and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my apologies to all the Bills here today. I won't use your name for a while, I promise. I want to give you a takeaway, which is really from 1 Peter 4:10, and it's use whatever gift you have received to serve others and be faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Can't wait to celebrate Easter with you. Go today in the love of God and the grace of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a great week, and we'll see you next weekend.
We want to thank you for listening to the Northgate podcast today. We hope that this message inspires and encourages your faith. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.